Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us again. Today, I've got a good one. I'm joined by a lovely, lovely lady called Stacey McGovern. Now, Stacey's story is amazing. It's one of those kind of motivational and inspirational stories that I just love. I love hearing about this sort of stuff, about you've got a dream, you've got an idea, and you act on it, and you reach it, and you do whatever you can to make it. You know, this is Stacey's story is like that. It's a lot of resilience, a lot of determination, and a lot of just kind of clawing your way. It makes it really motivational that she got herself to that. She got herself from the bottom, worked herself from a lonely kind of salesperson, seen an idea, just saw something there, that there was a gap in the market for something. She went for it, and she paid off really, really well for it. And I love that sort of stuff. It's like your typical, like, your American dream story sort of thing that you see all over the movies and stuff like that, which is really good. So have a listen to this, and it really does motivate you, because Stacey is really kind of motivational person. She does a lot of speaking and stuff like that about it, and she's really motivating. It really gets you going. Stacey's also the founder of the Blue Family Fund, which is also a really good non-profit charity. It provides scholarship opportunities and financial assistance to law enforcement and families in need, which is great. You know, it supports them, and it's going really well, and she's really an advocate behind it. She does a lot of good stuff. So Stacey's absolutely great person. There's also, if you keep towards the end of it, just to give you a little bit of heads up, there is a little bit of a surprise at the end regarding the Blue Family Fund and the podcast. So check that out towards the end. No spoilers. Don't want to spoil anything. That's right, I'm going to make you listen to the whole thing before you find out. So there you go, in your face. So guys, check it out. Have a look. Please like, share, subscribe it. I really appreciate it. It helps me out a lot. So without further ado, please welcome Stacey McGovern. I don't know why I instigate, say what I don't mean. I don't know how I got this way. I know it's not alright, so I'm breaking the habit. I'm breaking the habit tonight. And we're live. Stacey, welcome. How's things?
Hi. Good. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, don't. It's my pleasure to have you here, to be quite honest with you, Stacey. I've been looking forward to this one, to pick your brains and can I hear your story, because you've got a great one. It's a great one. But how's things over your neck of the woods? Whereabouts are you the minute, Stacey?
I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. Things are good. We're opening back up a little bit. We still have to wear masks everywhere, but yeah, things are getting slightly back to normal, I guess.
Slightly normal. Are we actually going to go back to normal? This is the thing. Is it going to be normality again? Or are we going to be like kind of that sort of thing? But yeah, I mean, we are kind of getting back to normal. It is opening back up. The pubs opened last week over in the UK, which is great. So literally on that Saturday, I think the whole country was out on a night out.
Ours opened and then they shut them back down. So
did they really? I hope they don't do that. They can't do that to us. We'll riot. There'll be riots. You can't do that to the UK. That's all we've got, Stacey. That's all we've got is the pubs and literally nothing else. And it's crazy. So you can't do that. But yeah, everyone was hung over on the Sunday, including myself. I felt very fragile. So
I think everybody's learning more to just do business online and just try to make this work, right?
That's it. It's making a lot. We're having to pivot into different things is online instead of doing the face-to-face stuff. You know, it's like commercial property now is just plummeting. I don't think there's going to be any need for that in the near future, just because people have been saying it for businesses that you can work from home. Why you keep doing this? And everyone's like, nah, you're silly. Until we've actually went and forced to be working from home and went, oh yeah, what you said about 2 years ago makes sense now.
It actually can work, right? Yeah, we actually started some, I'm partnering with someone to start some online networking groups. So actually doing the Zoom networking and getting to know each other that way and still helping each other grow each other's businesses without having to meet face to face. So
fantastic. That sounds great. So going into the, we're going to go into, that's a nice little segue, Stacey. I love this about business and stuff. See what I did there? You see what I did? Smooth. This is why I do this show.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, right?
Well, I don't know. I pay myself nothing. So yeah.
Right.
So business, this is where your forte comes early into, really, to be quite honest with you. And this is why I'm excited to get you on, because you've got a hell of a story to go. So I want to take it back to the beginning. Let's take it back to the beginning and let's go through it. And the floor is yours. Let's go for it.
Okay. Well, I'm a self-proclaimed small town Texas girl. Born and raised in Abilene, Texas, which if you don't know anything about Abilene, it's a tiny little church town, church on every corner. The only thing it has going for it is an Air Force base and a college. So there's no industry, no anything. But I was lucky enough to be born into an entrepreneurial family. My mom started a retail store back when I was 5 months old. And so I spent my entire life after school and in the afternoons at the back of my mom's retail store, you know, playing Barbies and then eventually wrapping gifts to help customers and all that. And she, I call her the original badass because she grew that business in Abilene, Texas from one retail location to five.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was, you know, dressing the big country's women my entire life. I just automatically thought I was supposed to go to retail because, you know, my mom did it. She was successful at it. So I just sort of thought that was supposed to be my thing. Little did I know that retail is not my thing. Yeah. I started a retail store just because I thought I was supposed to, and it failed miserably.
Is that because of like pressure from your mother as well? Because she had the same. You thought, I need to follow in the footsteps.
Right. Well, I thought, gosh, she's had this massive success. You know, I'll just do the same thing. And easy peasy, right? And of course, I was young and 23 and arrogant and didn't ask for any help because, you know, I was raised in it. I knew how to do it. And so bought this lingerie store in Abilene, Texas, which is crazy to start with. And then about 2 years in, Victoria's Secret decides to launch in every shopping mall across America, including Abilene.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they could literally sell it for what I could buy it for. So there was no competing.
There's no margin in there at all. Yeah. That's what you see nowadays. It's the big players coming in and just undercutting because they're big enough to take the hit on the margins. And that's shocking, especially with your local businesses. And I hate that. Don't get me started on that, Stacey. I'll end up chewing your ear off the next 2 hours about this.
Exactly. I feel the same way. I love small business, but it just wasn't meant to be. Turns out, you know, looking back on it, I was miserable. I was never cut out to just sit back in a retail store and wait for a customer to come to me. I'm more the go-getter type person.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So I hope you're not hearing that. My dogs are barking. Sorry.
You're all right.
Real life, right? So, yeah. So after that, it was a real learning experience. I learned a lot. I realized, you know, took my ego down a few notches.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I realized, I got to figure something out.
How old were you at 23 at this point, were you?
Yeah, 23.
Quite a young age. A young age for your first, like, I don't want to call it failure, but it kind of is really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a young age to really handle that. How did you deal with that? Was that quite a hard mentality?
It was eye-opening. It was really, it was difficult because I was in a family of successful retail store owners. So, you know, to be the one that didn't make it was difficult. But luckily
the black sheep of the family sort of thing.
Yeah. But my parents were very supportive and I sort of knew I just needed to find my niche. I needed to find my thing. So I ended up in outside sales, started working in the corporate world, figured out that outside sales was for me. I love the ability to make as much money as I wanted. If I needed more money, I just sold more. And it was just, it just worked.
That's
so
great.
Yeah. So, the crazy part is I won a lot of awards in outside sales and got a lot of trips and everything, but I never considered leaving the small town of Abilene. Right. It just didn't dawn on me but one day I was on a conference call with the vice president of the company I was working for. And he was giving me some award for outstanding sales. And he said, you know what, Stacey? He said, if you can do what you're doing now in a small little town like Abilene, what could you do if you were in a bigger market?
Oh yeah, one of the big cities and stuff. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you know that one thing that someone says to you that just kind of sticks with you forever? Like I was like, the light bulb went off, right? And I'm like, wow, I could really make some real money if I was in a bigger market. And so that's what, after about 15 years in outside sales, I ended up in DFW and met my husband and got married, and, you know, but all the whole time, even though I was working for someone else and working for commission, the whole time I thought, you know, I'm really meant to own my own business. I'm really meant to do something for myself, because that's how I grew up. And I was just, you know, inbred in me, I guess, that I'm supposed to, you know, run my own company and not really live someone else's dream, if you will.
Was it, well, the outside sales stuff you were doing, was that just basically commission only? You weren't, there was no base salary. I was just getting, you didn't sell, you weren't getting paid.
Right. Exactly.
That's a pretty brutal way of doing it, isn't it?
It's tough. It's tough. You got to really be good at selling.
Yeah, I mean, I've never noticed this, because over here in the UK and Europe, we don't really have that. We have a base salary. It's a very low base salary when it comes to like sales, like kind of car sales and all that sort of stuff. It's probably like, I don't know, something like 9 to 12 grand a year. Then you use that. But I've never known anything. It was only until recently was I noticed that I'm in recruitments, I do all that sort of stuff in the US. And I realized that it's commission only over there. And it's like, bring your own business with you. And you're like, what? This is ridiculous. And it's a normal thing. And I'm like, I thought this is a new thing, but no, it's been going for years. And I was like, wow, that just blew my mind. And to work in that sort of environment, I can imagine how you went from that to your own business, because you've already got that determination, because you have to do that sort of job. Yeah. And well, it's successful at it.
Oh, yeah. You have to treat it like your own business if you're in commission sales. Of course. Really. Yeah. So I laugh. People that I know that tell me, you know, oh, I don't work weekends. I turn my phone off on the weekend. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even imagine. Like, that's so far from what I do.
How many phones have you got, though? That's the thing.
Yeah, at least 3, probably.
Exactly. You go out for a night out, you go out for like, I don't know, for a meal, your husband and the other half, and you're walking, but you put your phones on the table. You look like a drug dealer, don't you? Because you've got 3 of them lined up. And people just look at you, and there are like 3 iPhones or a Galaxies, and you're like, it's a work thing. It's like, what do you do? You
know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I was cut out for it, but it really is a sink or swim thing, commission sales.
It is. It's horrendous.
You're either cut out for it or you're not.
That's it. You can cut out. If you can do it, as you say you did, you can do anything, to be quite honest with you. That's what I say. Sales is a hard game to get into.
That sounds, I like that. But the funny thing about it is, you know, you're constantly filling your funnel. So 1 month is great, right? And then the next month you got to refill your funnel. So it's, you know, beans and weenies the next month. And then, I married a police officer. So, you know, the salaries for police officers over here are pretty low.
Really?
Yeah. So we were, you know, living paycheck to paycheck as a police wife, and then, you know, up and down in the commission sales thing. So there was no real, budget, or, you know, it was just try to make ends meet and get through it. And then, you know, as with everyone, the thing that kills you is the unexpected expenses, right? You know,
if you're not getting disposable income, you're not going to have anything for unexpected emergencies and stuff like that, are you?
Right. It's never the rent and the food. It's always the braces and the, you know,
the legs, insurance, and cars breaking down and all that sort of cracking stuff. What we love to have in real world.
Right. So after all that, I said, you know, there's got to be a better way. My husband was really, you know, struggling with his salary. It wasn't very good. But he would get off duty jobs, but they would be really random, you know, here or there. We couldn't really budget for it because we never knew when an off duty job was going to pop up, but we really relied on those off duty jobs for extra income.
With off duty jobs. What's that? Is that just like, can just security when you're not working?
Security, traffic control, when a company wants something other than just a security guard. They want more than just a guy with a flashlight. They want an actual certified police officer to watch their new construction, you know, make sure no one steals the copper piping or any of the heavy equipment. Yeah. They want someone to highway construction. They use police officers to control the traffic for lane closures when they're when they're laying pavement. All that kind of stuff.
You don't know that would be an issue. The thing is, that shouldn't be. That's horrible. The cops are actually getting paid the salary that low. They have to do stuff like that, and the downtime. The downtime is supposed to be for their own downtime, so they can sort themselves out. Because it's a tough job. Don't get me wrong. With the police, you see a lot of stuff. You see a hell of a lot of stuff, and you go experience a lot of stuff. And how are you going to switch off when you're having to do that? So, I can imagine how stressful it was for you.
Right. But the cool thing is that it was my next big idea. I said,
I just slated it. And it's like, oh, you jumped on the bandwagon there. Oh, well, if you see an opportunity, why not take it, you know?
Right. I was like, there's got to be a better way. What if I created a marketplace for off-duty work? So you as an officer can go in and actually pick and choose as much or as little off-duty work as you want or need. Say you need 3 off-duty days a month to save up for a vacation. Well, you come to our marketplace, you become a pool in our officer pool, and you can do that. And you can choose 30 days in advance where you want to work, when you want to work, and then we pay via direct deposit. So it's absolutely at your discretion how much, how little, when, where, all that. So guess what? A family is now able to budget. They're now able to save for a vacation. They're now able to cover those braces, you know, all those things. And it's just by a few off-duty days. So this became my passion. I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to create a marketplace for police officers for off-duty work. We're going to schedule way in advance so they know ahead of time. Because what would happen, Ryan, is my husband would get home from a 12-hour shift. He'd pop a beer, and then they'd call and say they needed someone for off-duty. Well, we needed the money, but he's already popped a beer. So we're like, crap, you know?
Yeah, you can't do nothing, can you?
You can't do it. So, you know, I said, there's got to be a way where they know in advance. Mm. You know, they can actually. So my husband created a calendar and a process where they actually send in an availability calendar. And then we would, you know, we'd be able to match it with the work that was available. But of course, I had to get work available first, right? I mean, yeah. This idea is great, but how do I
contracts.
Yeah. How do I get the contracts? How do I get the officers? It's kind of a slippery slope, right? You can't really get contracts until you have a pool of officers. You can't really get officers until you have contracts.
Checking the X syndrome, isn't it? What did you go for first? I know exactly all about that.
Yeah. So I spent 2 years, and this is the part people don't understand. I spent 2 years working a full-time job, raising 2 boys, married to a police officer that was never home, trying to get this side hustle, if you will, going, trying to make this into a real company. So it was me. I named the business Point Blank Safety, and I had a business card. And so every free minute that I wasn't working my full-time job, I would be cold calling, emailing, texting to try to get some of these companies to listen to me and listen to my idea of a marketplace for police officers. So long story short, September of 2014, 2 years after I started the company, I was in the bathroom getting ready for work. True story. Putting my makeup on, the doorbell rang, went to the door. It was FedEx with a package for Point Blank Safety. Now remember.
Uh-oh, what's this?
Right.
It's the tax man. He's after me.
Point Blank Safety didn't get packages, right? It was an idea and a business card. So I was like, what in the world? I open it up. It's a 300-page contract for $1.5 million to use our officers on a traffic safety project. Where they were adding a lane on the highway from Dallas to Denton, a 3-year contract for $1.5 million.
Wow. What were you like when you opened that? What was it? Did you just like open it and go, what the hell is this?
I opened it. Well, see, I've been talking to them, you know, off and on for 2 years, but they never told me for sure we were going to get it. They never told me for sure they bought into my idea. But my first thought, honestly, is how many zeros are in a million? Like what? Yeah. And then, you know, you start digging in, it's 300 pages. So it's pretty intense. It's pretty detailed. And
what you need to do, what you can't do, provisions, trials and tribulations of the people showing up, of sick pay and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. They wanted us to start in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Give you enough notice. Is that when... This is the thing. Was that when reality sucked? When you read that 2 weeks, that's when it just went, great, we've just got this massive contract. Then you went, shit, we've got 2 weeks. We still need to. We've got the contract. We're kind of a quarter of the way there. We need to get to the 100%, but we need to get the guys. What was that like? Was that like just like panic mode?
Well, for me, it wasn't. For me, it was, I'm going to make this happen no matter what. This is going to change my life. This is going to change my kids' lives. This is going to change hundreds of officers' lives. But I know that's the point when a lot of people would say, oh my God, you know, I wanted this, but this is impossible. We can't, there's no way. And here's the other caveat, to even set foot on a highway construction project in Texas, you need $5 million in insurance. Ooh. $5 million in insurance, if you don't know, costs about $15,000. I didn't have $15,000. I didn't have $2,000. So again, that's the place where a lot of people would just go,
give up, take me go.
It's, yeah, it didn't, it's not going to work. I don't have it. But I was like, no, I'm going to make this happen. I've worked for 2 years solid and this is going to happen. And we sold everything. We went back to just square one. We sold everything we had. We borrowed from credit cards and everything. And I got the down payment for the insurance. And we didn't start in 2 weeks. We ended up starting in about a month. But luckily, my husband had the police contacts and we were able to make it happen. And now we run a multi-million dollar company. We employ over 200 police officers. We have about 12 contracts over the state of Texas. And we're just continuing to help other people. And then, you know, the great part that came out of all this success is, you know, I said, how can we pay this forward? How can we give back? We've been so blessed that we started a nonprofit in 2017 called Blue Family Fund.
Okay.
It's a self-funded nonprofit. So we don't take salaries or anything like that. We pay all the expenses for the nonprofit ourselves. So every dollar donated goes to either a scholarship for a dependent of a first responder or financial aid for families of fallen or injured first responders.
Oh, fantastic. A great cause. Great cause.
Thank you. So now every day I wake up, I have 200 officers relying on me to make sure I still have enough off-duty work to supplement their incomes. And it's a real motivator. So yeah.
You're doing this full time though now, aren't you? You've took away not a side hustle anymore, is it?
No, we're both full time now. And like I said, we're employing about 200 police officers. They work when they want, you know, as much as they need or don't need. And then we do everything else. So it's great for them, but it's also great for the companies because now they have one point of contact to schedule police officers for their jobs. They have one invoice monthly.
That's all you need. That's what it should be. That's what it should be. One in, one out. Nothing else. No bells in like 5 or 6, 7, 8 pages. Because getting said, I can, as I say, this is right up my street as well because I can relate to this. And it's, you just want one in, one invoice. That's all you need. Nice and easy. They can understand it. Job done.
Yep. And one point of contact. So, you know, I need 7 officers on, you know, July 25th. And then, you know, one point of contact if that job gets canceled or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. So we're, it's kind of the true American dream story, if you will. It really we went from paycheck to paycheck to running a multi-million dollar company. And then we took all that success and try to pay it forward.
Living the dream, Stacey. I love it. During the time though, when you were building, you said you were doing it for 2 years. What were you doing? Were you still doing the sales job? Or your normal 9-to-5 sort of thing as well.
Well, sales. I was
and
still
then you were
sales.
Doing your side hustle was this. Was there any point during that 2 year period that you said you were mentioning a point of just going, this is not worth it, I'm just gonna give up?
Yeah. I mean many times. Yeah. You know, when my only free time was like midnight to 3 AM, you know, I'm like,
oh, Christ.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is a lot. And then also, you know, my parents who I told you did retail. You know, when I would tell them my idea, they were like, that's not a thing. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you need a brick and mortar. You need, you know, that's not a real business. Yeah. So, you know, that kind of, you know, made it hard to keep going. You know, if you don't have that back end support. And of course, my husband, who always believed in me, believed in my ideas, you know, but I think he thought, oh, we'll get one little security job and, you know, or one little thing here or there. He didn't know I was going to
reach for the stars. He's like, yeah. He should have went, oh, no, a minute, mate. If I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do it by halves. I'm going 2 foot into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think big. And I think thinking big is huge in life. You gotta go for it.
Well, of course, yes. You always have to put goals in front of you. And it doesn't matter. You always put goals that seem too far reach. This is what I keep saying to people as well. There's no point in getting a goal that's actually reachable. That's not a goal. Right. That's just a place to get to.
A to-do list, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want to get somewhere like, say, like in 10 years' time, I want to be living on the moon. That's not going to happen, but it's something to work towards, you know, but not that stupid. But when it comes to business and stuff, I mean, from my experience, I'm an old business owner as well, and I didn't really get to the greatness that you've came to, but I definitely understand that the hard work that does go into it and having a small family, or a young family sort of thing. My daughter was only, 6 months old when I started my business up, and that was tough going. That was incredibly tough going, and I did actually have hair when I started as well. she could have done, actually, it's gone. But so it was incredibly hard to get through it. And it's the mental thing. How did you deal with all the mental kind of, like, the mental health side of things? Because that's a big thing. It wasn't back then. It was 2012, was that when you really started? Mm-hmm. So back then, it wasn't really kind of touched upon. Now it is massive. How did you feel about when that sort of the mental side of things? How did you cope with that?
I wake up every day in a new world. I'm a very positive person. You know, every day I wake up and think, okay, you know, what am I going to conquer today? Let's, you know, get going. Let's get the ground running. So, you know, even if I have a really bad day or it really gets me down, I really wake up the next day in a whole new world and start from scratch, if you will. I don't let any of that hold on to me or stay with me, you know, for days at a time or whatever. Yeah. But also, you know, my mom always told me, she's like, you know, if you don't like your life, if you're not happy, if you want more money, whatever it is you want, you are the only person that can make that happen. Definitely. And so many people rely on other people for their happiness, for their financial stability, and you can't do that. No, that's just definitely not, you'll always be disappointed if that's what you do. But if you take it upon yourself to change your life, and like I told you, I've failed at other things. So, you know, it didn't just come the very first thing I tried either. So I think it's sometimes life is all about timing. It's all about things happen when they're supposed to. You know, if I'd had this kind of success at 23, would I have appreciated it like I do now?
Of course,
would I have taken care of it like I do now? You know, probably not. So, you know, sometimes those failures, and I don't even really call them failures. I just call them, you know, I learned a lot and I moved on. And, you know, it's really what taught me the tenacity and the go for it and the drive and all that I have today. Also the never give up attitude. I just don't feel like give up. Maybe change course. You may have to change the course of your where you're going. But giving up, it just shouldn't really be an option if you want a different life, if you want something different than what you already have.
This is what you said about failure. It's like you're failing your way to success at the end of the day. Exactly. If you've not, you can never speak to anyone who's worth anything or has been a success in life and has not failed. You'll not hear one of them. They've obviously failed at something because you have to, because it does keep you on that narrow kind of line. You know, if you don't fail at something, you could, as you say, if you were 23 and you keep being successful and doing this, God knows what you'd have done, because you didn't have that focus, because you were like, "Hey, I'm great, and the ego would go up and you'd be like the best thing and since sliced bread. The next thing you'd come crashing down and it's gone. God knows what's going to happen.
I have a friend that says, if you're not failing, you're not trying enough new things.
I love that. Gee, that's so motivational.
Yeah, you gotta keep trying, and you know, and if you're not working hard to, you know, put yourself out of business, somebody else is gonna. So you've got to figure out all the errors and all the ways, and you've got to come up with the perfect process, you know. And I also am a big believer in embrace your competition. You know, I've walked into places and they say, oh, we're already working with Dallas PD, or we're already working with whatever, and I'll say, that's great. That's absolutely wonderful. Just put me as your backup vendor. And when they can't fill it, and it'll happen, you call me, I'll fill it. I'll show you what we're all about. And then they end up being a customer for life. So you always have to be willing to embrace everything that's out there and be willing to work with anybody.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is that what people nowadays have got is they don't have a, it's time. Time is the biggest thing. And this is the biggest bugbear that I've got, and you're a complete advocate of what I'm about to talk about, right, to be fair, is when someone says to me, goes, oh, I hate my job. I hate what I'm doing. Like, you are doing that. You could do so much better. I said to them, well, what would you want to do? And you go, I want to be like, I don't know. I was like, I'm working in an office somewhere, but I really want to be a musician, but I don't know any music. Well, why don't you spend time doing it, being a musician then? Oh, I don't have time to do it. Well, what time do you start work? 9 o'clock in the morning. What time do you finish? Well, 5, but I don't get home until 7. But and then I get to put the kids to bed, and that's 8 o'clock. Okay, what are you doing from 9 o'clock to 12? Well, I'm sitting watching telly. Well, you've got time, haven't you? Oh, my God. Yeah. You can. Oh, that just winds me right up. It's like you've got that 4 hours a night. You could better yourself. You can make yourself into something different from what you are. You could change your life. Just because it's only 4 hours a night, that adds up. That 4 hours throughout the whole week, even a month, adds up to so much that you've not got. Instead of just sitting there watching Netflix all weekend, all night, just crazy. And you're a prime example because you did that. And you could just sit there and go, put your hands up and go, that's what I did. Look where I am now, sort of thing. If you put the effort in, you're going to reap the rewards. And that's it. And it's such a great, you're a great advocate of that sort of kind of cause sort of thing.
Well, and if you look at the big picture, 2 years is nothing, right? In the big picture of life.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I worked my ass off for 2 solid years. And I mean, I still work hard, but it's a lot different now. But I worked my ass off for 2 solid years and I changed my life. So yeah, some people go 2 years. Oh my gosh, I can't get through that or whatever, but you can. And it's just all about, you know, what you want out of life.
Are you willing to give up 2 years of your life for 15 or 20 years of happiness?
Right.
But that's what you have to think about it, you know?
Yeah. But what you said about time, I hear from a lot of people about money. You know, you ask someone, if you won the lottery, what would you do? And so many people say, I'd start a business. I'd start a nonprofit. I'd do this. And I say, you don't need to win the lottery to do it. If that's what you want to do, do it. I did it. I did it with, you know.
If I won the lottery, Stacey, I'd probably invest the money into, well, I'd probably start up a company of off-duty police officers in America. I hear there's money in that.
Just not in Texas.
Stay
over there.
go East Coast, mate. Stay away from here.
That's funny.
But as time, it's the money as well. That's a great thing as well, with money, with budget. And it's a hard way when you keep putting roadblocks. We can find a way. This is the thing. Everyone can find a way. Whenever you're skint halfway through the month, you've got no money, you don't know how you're going to feed yourself, you always make it to the end of the month. Mm-hmm. You always do. And we just find a way because we're survivors, and that's what it does.
And people find the money for what they really want.
Of course.
You know, people say, I'm broke. But yeah, they're carrying $1,000 cell phone, or they say I'm broke and they're driving a, you know, BMW. Yeah. I mean, people find money for what they want. So
just
if you really want
naughty.
It. Yeah.
Just don't do anything naughty.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what, when I tell people I sold everything, they're like, what? Like,
did you look at you go, what, everything?
Yeah, I'm like, everything. Start it over because it's just stuff. You can get more stuff. Yeah. I mean, so it was worth
it
to me.
Probably, is that why you've got 3 phones? You sell everything. You know, are we talking everything right now? How much do you want? No, I can't do that. I'm only kidding. Of course not. So it's a great Stacey, that's an absolutely fantastic story, to be quite honest. I think that is amazing. But you started with obviously behind you, if you're obviously listening, you can't see it, but if you're watching on the YouTube channel behind you, you've got the Blue Family Fund. Is this the non-profit you were chatting about?
Talk to us
about this. And this is a great thing to do, I think. Fantastic. Because with the police, especially nowadays, and right now with the police getting so much flack, and I'm a big, massive police fan. I think they're great. I think what they do is fantastic. They get a lot of heat right now because of what's happening, which is understandable. You could get good cops, you get bad cops. But to help the people who have gone through, to help people who are protecting you and helping the families, I think it's fantastic. So how did this come about? Was it just you just sat there and went, I need to give back, sort of thing?
Well, you know, when you come into big success and you have money, there's a lot of things you can do. You can go buy the bigger house, you can go buy the nicer car, or you can say, wait a minute, let's pay it back. Let's pay it forward.
Right.
Let's do something with it. You know, and I'm a big believer in life. You get what you give. My grandfather always preached that. And I really think it's true.
Yeah.
So, in 2017, we realized, you know, how successful we really were. And my husband and I looked at each other and we said, you know, we should find a charity that we want to, you know, give some of this to. And we started looking through charities and researching. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there aren't some good ones, because there are. Mm. But we couldn't find one that we were passionate about, that enough of the money was actually going to the cause. So many charities, the CEO is making $300,000-$400,000 a year. They have huge operating expenses. So, you know, a very tiny portion of what you donate is actually going to the cause. Well, we work hard for our money, just like everybody does. And that just wasn't what we wanted to do. So we said, you know, we started a company, let's start a nonprofit. And so we applied to the state and we got our 501c3 nonprofit status. And yeah, so now it's just about spreading the word, because people don't really want to give to something they're not really familiar with, which is understandable. But we've now been in operation for 3 years. We've helped 7 families of fallen officers, and we've given out 3 scholarships. We actually were on ESPN this past December. We gave out a $5,000 scholarship to the daughter of a Marine to go to Texas Tech to explore nursing. So that was pretty exciting.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we, like I said, it's totally self-funded. We don't take any salaries out of it. We don't pay, we pay all the expenses for the nonprofit ourselves. So literally every penny that you donate goes to a family. We were just in Killeen, Texas, 2 weeks ago, giving $1,500 check to the family of a fallen canine officer. So we're just continually trying every donation that comes in. We try to turn it around and help someone. And sadly, right now, there's a lot of officers' families that need help because of what all's going on.
Have you, are you finding that because of what's happening with the police getting so much criticism, do you find that, that the donations and people are not as receptacle to the charity as much now?
No, I think it's actually the opposite. I think people are, we're seeing people are seeking out police charities because they don't agree with what's going on, and they're not, that's not what they believe. You know, I think sometimes the mainstream media is not what the majority of us really believe. So we're getting a lot of just unsolicited donations you know, things like that. So, and of course we put, every time we donate, we try to put it out there to show people where the money's going. And I think that helps as well, but
that's it.
It's bluefamilyfund.org if you want to donate. There's also t-shirts, Back the Blue t-shirts and stuff on our site that you can purchase if you don't just want to give money, if you want to get a t-shirt for your donation. So and that's why I do podcasts, just to spread the word, let people know what we're doing. We're trying to pay it forward. We're trying to help officers. You can also go to our site, bluefamilyfund.org, if you know of a family in need or if you want to apply to get a scholarship for, you know, higher education.
Fantastic. That's great. And it's the best way of when you know what it's actually going to as well. You know, because all these big companies, as you mentioned, with the big CEOs, they've got the goals. Yeah, we spend money here, or we put money here, and it's loads of different bit. But then you don't really realize, like, no, we actually send it to where it needs to go, not just a whole big massive pool of it, sort of thing. You know,
right? And we're not, you know, we're not paying ourselves. You know, we're okay. So we want to give back. We want this to totally go forward and help families that need it. You know, people don't understand when an officer has fallen or injured in the line of duty, you know, there may be a payment coming to them at some point to their family, but it could be, you know, months or years down the road. Mm. So we're really trying to help them, you know, during that crucial time where maybe that police officer was their sole source of income. So they really need some help to get through until other things can happen for them.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, Stacey, this is going to be one for you. My partner in crime, my producer, is going to go nuts at this because it's straight off the top. We are currently in the process of starting up a 24-hour podcast for raising money on September 5th. It's going to be a massive event. They're starting it now. We're going to do it for 9 o'clock, September 5th. We're doing it at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. We're going to do it all the way through to 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Now, I've not really mentioned this in the podcast yet, so I'm probably going to get something chucked at me over the next few minutes. Yeah, I'm getting looked at. So what we're planning to do is do that, and it's going to do a 24-hour on air. We're going to do great stuff. It's going to be games. It's going to be videos. There's going to be quizzes. There's going to be lots of celebrity guests. We're getting in touch with celebrities and stuff like that to endorse it. Now, one of the things that I was really talking about, one of his sticking point was a charity. Now, I love to represent and put yourself through as raise money for your Blue Family Fund charity, if you would accept that.
Oh my God, yes, of course. It sounds very exciting. I would love, we'd love to be a part of it for sure.
Great. Well, we can get that sorted. I'm just getting looked at so bad. We'll sort it. Yeah, so what we can do, we can get all that sorted right at the end, because what we'll do, we'll send out Just Giving, we'll get it all advertised out, great fun, and it's going to be a really good day. I'm looking forward to it. This is the first time I'm really talking about it live on the podcast. This is a new thing. It's going to be brutal. 24 hours, Saturday the 5th of September, 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. It's going to be absolutely carnage.
Yeah, you can do it. Easy peasy, right?
Great. Well, we'll obviously sort that out after offline and get all that sort of stuff squared away.
Sure. But
Stacey, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Your story is so inspirational. And I hope people who are listening to this can take note of that and actually use that to kind of motivate them to do what they need to do. The dream is there. Just look for it and you're absolutely proof of that sort of thing. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun. And thank you for the opportunity for September 5th. That sounds so exciting. And whatever we can do to help promote it on the Blue Family Fund side, we'll be happy to.
Fantastic. Stacey, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Right. Cool. There we go. All done.
Was it okay?
That was perfect. What do you think?
I thought it went good.
That was really good. That I really enjoyed it. Your story's amazing, Steve. I can't believe it. Absolutely fantastic story.
Thanks. Thanks. I think I talked over you a couple of times. Sorry about that. I definitely didn't mean to.
Conversational basis. It's gotta happen sort of thing, not an issue. It's just that it was really good. I talk for a living. I can't even remember the word I'm looking for now. It's more natural. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's very natural. So I thought it was absolutely great. It's real life. That's what I like doing. But I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. I think a lot of people are going to take a lot of inspiration from that sort of thing.
Cool. And thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
But yeah, if you could fire over the details, obviously, of websites and all that sort of stuff, because when I release it, I'll put all that at the bottom of the in the description of that sort of stuff, so people can send that to you, and I'll slap it all over the place. I'll advertise the living hell out of it as well.
I will too. I promise.
Brilliant. And yeah, if you're okay with doing that in September, if we can use raise money for you guys, we'll definitely do it. There's going to be three of them. One's going to be for Forces Charity, because I'm an ex-Forces man myself. Obviously, yourself, the Blue Family Fund, and we're doing one for a kids' charity as well. So it'll be all three of them. So we're looking to earn a hell of a lot of money for it. So fingers crossed we can get some good stuff for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all in. Just let me know whatever you need from me.
Happy days. Stacey, it's a pleasure. Have a great rest of the day. And release date will probably be next Monday for this one.
Okay.
Because I've got one going out later on today, and then I have to do a couple more days from Monday. So we'll get it. But what I'll do, I'll fire out all the details. And I'll send you all the links and all that sort of stuff. So if you can send it around your network, even better.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Stacey, take care. It's been a pleasure.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Bye.